In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Isaiah 61. This admonition of Isaiah to the people of Israel in the 6th century BC has become reality in Jesus Christ. The radiance of the light that has come to us at Christmas so bright, the mystery so great, that we end our season of celebration with the final great day, Epiphany. Epiphania, the Greek word, means manifestation or revelation. And on this feast, we have revealed to us the other side of the mystery of the incarnation. This tiny, helpless child is also God and ruler of our universe. All our Advent prayers of longing for a king and a ruler have come true with the royal fullness on this Epiphany. The Carmelite poet Jessica Powers, in her poem, In Too Much Light, voices the experience of many. She envies the Magi, whose lot, after all, was rather easy. They had but one clear light to follow. We find stars everywhere, Powers writes, as we wander around following too many stars in too much light in days of scattering shining. What Epiphany teaches, she writes, is this. There is not any place where the sought word is not. Under and over, in and out, this morn flawlessly, purely wakes the newly born. And behold, all places have light in them. Truly, they are Bethlehem. Our wise men of today's gospel are seekers. Many reliable sources say seeking is the beginning of wisdom. And the wise men saw a star. And in this star, they saw a sign. Therefore, they were looking for something beyond the present reality. They saw something in the sky that drew them to believe that this star was something very much more than merely just a star. When was the last time we looked in the sky and became enthralled with the immensity of the universe, and the cosmos? When was the last time that this sight drew us to reflect on the creator of our universe? When was the last time it called us to reflect on the creation of the earth and, yes, of ourselves? And when was the last time we were drawn to a more deeper spirituality? These wise men had to be religious men. Non-religious people only believe with their eyes. They do not go beyond the senses. Religious people can reflect on the deeper meanings of things and often ask many questions. The wise men were drawn to something they did not fully understand. They were not looking for a sign or a book of knowledge or some great scroll of wisdom. They were looking for a person, an infant, yes, the King of the Jews. And it was through a person that salvation would be brought to all of humanity. In our lives, many things mesmerize us. But if we do not interact with people, then we're missing an important element. For example, our schools may have the best computers, the best books, the best facilities, but it's the teacher that makes it all work. It's the personal interaction between teacher and student that allows all other things to help them learn and grow in knowledge. Thomas Merton, in his journal, reflects on the love necessary in almsgiving. He says that giving to charities, because it's a good thing to do, makes it mechanical and impersonal. with love and personal interest in where one is sharing one's money, then the action takes on a theological virtue. The wise men in today's reading were looking for God. They wanted knowledge. They wanted understanding. They wanted an assurance that their forward thinking was correct. They received their answer and with new insights went home by a different way. In our lives, we want a new vision, a new insight, yes, a different way. We want to know that there is something beyond this world in which we live with all its angers, its wars, its frustrations, and its difficulties. We want a sense of hope from God. The wise men received that hope. And we too have hope because Jesus Christ was born for us, all of us. Now, during World War II, two Liberty ships slipped quietly out of an Irish port heading to Scotland with supplies. The crews of both ships were blessed by the darkness of the starless and moonless night. It was their only real defense against enemy submarines. The first ship was to do the navigating. The second would follow the very pale stern light of the lead ship. Soon the men on watch, those guys that worked the tiller wheel up on the top, reported a starboard turn, and then another, and still another. The crewmen on the bridge realized that they were going in a huge circle and mentioned it to the officer. Well, the officer refused to listen and stubbornly continued to follow that pale light. Soon the ship they were following signaled them with their light. Blippity blip, 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 blip. It tapped out the embarrassing and, under the circumstances, a frightening question. Why are you following us? We are a minesweeper. They had latched on to the wrong light to follow, and had become disoriented and lost. Fortunately for them, the crew made a corrected, educated guess, and of course, readjustment, and survived the harrowing trip. The wise men in today's gospel had portrayed as men on a journey more dangerous than they, with all their knowledge, could imagine. Of all the stars they could have picked, they chose the right one, but were still in danger. For when they arrived in Judea, they went exactly to the wrong place, the palace of the earthly king, Herod. They endangered themselves and the new king that they sought. You know, in our lives, we, like the men on the Liberty ship, can all too easily follow the wrong light and find ourselves going around in dangerous circles. Or even if we pick out the right light and follow, can, like the wise men, interpret this meeting in a narrow and a deadening manner. All too often we as Christians interpret the Christ event that lights up our world in deadly petty terms and conventional ways that miss the grandeur and the simplicity of God's plan. We look for the King of Kings in all the expected places, just like the wise men that went to Herod's court. Nevertheless, the Liberty ships did survive, and the wise men in the gospel passage did find the Christ of their own ultimate safety. We have good reason to rejoice, because the mystery of God's plan triumphs over our mistakes. On this Feast of Epiphany, we celebrate one light, one star that shines equally upon every race, every nationality, and every people. And on this feast, we celebrate that light which cannot be held, grasped, or monopolized, but simply reverenced and appreciated with a sense of immense awe. Have we seen that light? Are we following it to the Lord and the Savior of all mankind?